And this is Simple Life. Welcome to Simple Life Radio for those stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm all nervous because I was just down to the wire expecting Dan Millman to call. I hope that's you on line one, Dan. I'm your host today, Cynthia Fernandez, and our show is focused on real life experiences, usually focused on the folks from the Central Coast of California. But today we have an exception because we have Dan Millman with us today, and I'm so excited. So although Dan is not currently a resident of Monterey County, he is a native Californian, and he did live for some time in Berkeley, where he attended UC Berkeley. We know that he earned All-American honors and won an NCAA championship for vaulting, and also a USGF championship in floor exercises. He represented the U.S. in the 1966 in some games, winning four gold medals in gymnastics, and perhaps he's best known for his first of now 16 books, which was The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. I was told by a mutual friend, that he describes himself as a cross between Ram Dass and Haagen-Dazs. And for me, he's been a personal inspiration through his writing of The Peaceful Warrior and the second book in the sequel, The Sacred Journey of the Peaceful Warrior. And through those writings, I was introduced to learning about things like focusing intention, awareness of energy, and the power of the heart connection in relationships. So I am real excited. Right now, Dan is currently on a California tour for the release of his newest book, The Creative Compass, Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. And he is with us today by telephone. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you, Cynthia. Glad to be here with you.
I'm glad I can hear you now.
Oh, good.
How do you describe your newest book, and how did you come to write it with your daughter, Sierra Prasada?
You know, not that we're comparing ourselves to J.K. Rowling and the Harry Potter series. That only comes to mind because if someone had asked her to describe her book when it first came out and nobody wanted to publish it, she would have described it as a book for young adults or, you know, teen, preteen audiences.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't know what her book was until it came out and was discovered by a much larger audience, including my wife and I. And in the same way, whether our book is a book on how to write well and a writing book, or whether it is a book on the entire creative process that applies to any of us who tell stories, which is all of us, since all of us tell stories every day when someone says, how was your day?
That's
or
true.
Or we write a blog,
yeah.
Or we describe anything. So the book is both, and that's a paradox, but we don't know yet until we see how readers embrace it, whether they just go, oh, this is a niche writing book for those who want to be authors, which limits the audience, or whether people go, you know, this is a book on the creative process and on life. It has chapters like The Master Metaphor and many other chapters that apply to life in general.
I noticed
so
that.
We aimed the book particularly for writers or for other creative artists, but it may expand beyond that, and that's part of the mystery of any new book release.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dan, that you describe it that way. If you're just joining us, we are on the air with Dan Millman, a well-published author, now 16 books in total. His newest book, The Creative Compass, And we're so glad that you're here. I did notice when I was looking through the book, you know, the table of contents, et cetera, based on what you just shared about it could be applied to any creative process, would it also apply then for one's just their use of voice or words or verbal presentations or even radio?
Well, I might ask you what you think about that, but since you asked the question, the answer is yes. Any good book, ours or any good book, becomes like an oracle. People can pick it up and find what they need inside and help crystallize their thoughts and their interests on a given topic. So I do believe it applies to any form of expression, clarity, how we develop properly in going through all the stages of creativity to bring out the best we have in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found myself really impressed, Dan, with how thorough and comprehensive the complete layout was, and yet at the same time it's really accessible. So when I was reading through, I would take the word writing, because as of yet, although it did inspire me, I'm not a writer per se. But I did take the word writing and kind of interchange it with painting or with preparing my radio show, and even any kind of serious undertaking of really wanting to have a finished product, whatever form that might take. And it translates really easily.
It does. And we're very happy about how it turned out. There are, of course, hundreds of thousands of books written by people, by various people, on to do with writing.
That's true.
The aspects of the craft and specialty books on this or that aspect, many memoirs by writers that talk about their own experiences and what they learned in writing, which the book would have turned out to be had I done it by myself, but it was transformed when I asked my daughter to join me on it, and she brought her youth and great educational background and ingenuity to the book, and it helped restructure the entire book around it to its current form. So those who think, oh, isn't it nice that Dan collaborated with his daughter, he brought her along, he's giving her a foothold. Actually, it worked the other way around. People are going to be, she's a gem that hasn't yet been fully discovered, but she will be.
Oh, that's lovely. Yeah. You know, you early in the book describe the stages of writing very succinctly, I might add. I particularly like your description of sticky, quote, sticky ideas as a call to follow one's own dragons. Would you care to expand on that?
Sure. And it is like a dragon because it will not be stopped. Resistance is futile, as they say. In terms, they say, we've all heard the saying that in essence, if you want to have a good idea, have lots of ideas.
Mm.
Every inventor will tell you that. Every artist. But not every idea is brilliant or worthy of years of our life. But there are some ideas that, like a fish, dive up from the water and then disappear quickly back into the stream of the subconscious and the depths. And if they do, we shouldn't worry about that. Let's not worry about the one that got away. Oh, that would have been my most brilliant idea. Because the important ideas, the ones that really have worth for us and are worth delving into, are sticky. They won't let us go.
Mm.
And they keep coming back. And so we should, it's great. That our job is to write down ideas when we have them. But, sometimes those ideas that seem so exciting when we first note them down, later on we look at them and we go, what was I thinking? many of us have had that experience.
I've had that, yes.
But the sticky ones stay with us, and those are the ones worth developing, and it's just an idea. And there are many ideas out there, but we tell people how, once we dream up the idea, to bring it into the world and treat it properly.
Wow. We are on the phone here. We're on the airwaves with Dan Millman. Dan and his daughter, Sierra Prasada, have just released a new book titled The Creative Compass, Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. They will be in the store at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden on Friday. That'll be November 22nd at 1 o'clock, or sorry, 2 o'clock. I'm so nervous, Dan.
Well, Mercury just went out of retrograde, so we should be in better shape now.
Okay,
over the place. Yeah.
It's a good thing we planned it for today, then. So the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, for those of you who might not be familiar with us, we are in downtown Carmel on Dolores between 5th and 6th. And we will be expecting Dan on Friday, November 22nd at 2 o'clock. I remember thinking it was 11:22 at 2. And I know that you've written many books, one of which was a book on numerology.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I have a variety of books in many languages. But it's interesting that Pilgrim's Way has invited me before, and I've never been able to just make the drive down there. But as it happens, Sierra and I are both teaching our first Creative Compass workshop at Mount Madonna Center in Watsonville on that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it was a perfect time to come down and drop by Pilgrim's Way and do a meet and greet, those who'd like to say hello to us in Carmel. We're looking forward to seeing beautiful Carmel again and to saying hello personally to folks, as you say, at 2 o'clock on the 22nd, in about a little over a week, I guess, from now.
Yeah, it's not that far, and it's right before Thanksgiving. So anyone who's thinking of a friend or loved one who is dealing with or excited about creative process, this might be a really good gift idea. And we just got in a whole slew of your books down there right near the front table as you come in the bookstore. So any books that you folks listening to my voice now want to pick up and have Dan to sign, I'm sure he would accommodate your needs.
Oh, happy to do so. And say hello to personally to meet
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And by the way, hearing that my books are at the front of the bookstore, that's like music to an author's ears. You could have sang that line, Cynthia.
Well, you know, one of the things I noticed about your latest book, Dan, The Creative Compass, was that it's so well laid out. It even included areas of, like the chapter that's handling rejection really caught my attention. And having been such a successful writer with now 16 books, it's hard for me to think of you as having been rejected. Would you care to share a story about an experience involving rejection?
Sure.
Oh, great.
I could tell you about an old girlfriend or a potential girlfriend once, but that's another kind of rejection. We've all experienced that. But as far as in terms of books and literature, I know there are some authors who could tell you how their book was rejected by 10 or 12 publishers and agents, and finally they broke through. But mine is just... I got really lucky in my publishing career. I had this book that developed over 7 years on and off. I'd write, then I'd stop, then I'd write again, and it ended up shaping into a book I ended up calling Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And that book actually, was picked up by a publisher in Los Angeles in about 2 months. I didn't know what an agent was at the time. I found somebody in the phone book in San Francisco, and they said, yeah, we'll handle it. We think it has potential. And the book was published, and it died because it was subtitled at the time, A Basically True Story. My editor thought that was kind of cute. But the bookstores were not amused because they didn't know what shelf to put it in. Is it fiction, nonfiction, what? They didn't, have anything for magical realism at the time or semi-fictional autobiography. So... the book died. It got into so few stores, it went out of print, and they said, give them back the rights. And it was 3 years later before an older gentleman who was a retired publisher, he was 70 years old, and said, he just read that one of the few copies out there and said, I'm going back into publishing, and I'm starting with this book. His name was Hal Kramer, H.J. Kramer, and the book came back, and it took him 2 years to get the book chains to take one copy in each store.
Wow.
It was a long, slow, but then word of mouth just kept it going, and there you are. But I do have one actual story of rejection. I was writing a book on gymnastics, and since that was my background, this is probably after I wrote Way of the Peaceful Warrior, I wanted to do a book on holistic training and body-mind training through gymnastics. The problem was I did not know who my audience was. Most people weren't going to read a book on gymnastics, and the gymnasts who were competing were too busy training, and they were mostly young kids. And so I just didn't have a sense that that's one of the things we emphasize. Know yourself and know your reader. Pick your ideal reader. Know your target audience. If you don't know that, the book wanders all over the place. So I remember my agent saying, Dan, and I quote, my agent at the time, he said, if I can't sell a book by you on gymnastics, I shouldn't be an agent. Well, the book didn't sell. Nobody wanted it. And it was for good reason.
Oh.
It was for good reason. So nobody, no author is guaranteed to get a book published at any point in their career. So again, the point in the chapter, of course, in the book, we give many examples of famous authors who were rejected many times. Some people have heard a few of those stories, but just to give people heart that we're all in this together, and it's not a unique experience to submit a draft to an agent or editor and have them say no. And then you go on to the next one, and you persist.
You mentioned in your book about rejection, Dan, that you shouldn't take it personally. And it sounds like you were able to, you know, really stay objective, even though you wrote a book on gymnastics and you know what you're talking about. I think it's really important to hold that space of not taking it personally, but really be curious about it.
Exactly. I mean, life gives us feedback. And I wasn't entirely joking about being a young man, you know, and maybe asking a girl out and she's not interested. And people do take that very personally.
Well, yeah.
They don't need to. It's just people have different tastes. And it says something about her and her taste and her needs.
Uh-huh.
If we only understood that, it doesn't mean we're less of a person. So rejection happens in every aspect of
life.
That's why the book reaches out in a universal sense, not just about submitting writing, but it's about rejection in life. Oh, it's part of the game, and you have to learn to flow with it. You know, I had a friend named Jimmy Ortiz. He was my best friend in high school. And we were driving to the beach one day, and two young ladies about our age, you know, drove up next to us. This was way back in the early 60s. And I was driving, and Jimmy turned to one of them and gave a big smile and a wink, whatever he did, you know, in his own unsuave manner. And, of course, they rolled their eyes and just pulled away and drove off. And Jimmy turned to me and he said, "She loves me." I thought that was a good attitude.
Oh, that's great.
And anybody who's rejected needs to have that sense of it's really just some feedback from life. Sometimes it means let it go, and sometimes it means we can make a shift in our life. So when someone has a manuscript rejected, they can either just submit to the next agent or editor. Or they can say, well, maybe I'm getting enough rejections. Maybe there's something I can do to further improve it, and use that as an impetus to go back and say, how can I make it more appealing?
Right. Absolutely. If you're just joining us, we are not in studio, but we are on the air with Dan Millman, who has reached international acclaim, really, with The Way of the Peaceful Warrior and 12 other books, now actually 16, right? He has inspired and informed millions worldwide, and his titles have been published in 29 languages. Actually, the feature film Peaceful Warrior, who starred Nick Nolte, was adapted from Millman's first book, based on the events in his life. And Dan Millman and his daughter, Sierra Prasada, are going to be in the bookstore at Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore promoting their latest book, The Creative Compass, Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. They will be there on Friday, November 22nd at 2 o'clock, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, located on downtown Carmel, Dolores, between 5th and 6th. And if you need to give us a call, our number is area code 831-624-4955. And we're going to take a short break now. We'll be back with Dan Millman.
See me in your eyes.
At 2 o'clock, for only about an hour or so, I guess. So, Dan, before the break, we were talking about rejection, which I think applies to everything. Everybody in life goes through that at some time or another. And I wanted to ask you if, in writing this book, it seems really compelling, not only about writing, but really, to me, as I read it, about personal expression, getting our words and our message out there. And I wondered if you feel that it's a time for people to really share, or if there's a call to share, and that was one of the motivations for writing the book.
Yes, in fact, that relates to the question many people have of, could I get published? The dream of writing, whether it's a poem, a short essay, a short story, and even though it's as difficult as ever to find an established publisher for one's work. Today, anyone can get published. The question is how and what quality of work will publish. So every time we write an email to a friend, we may not realize it, but we're publishing. We're self-publishing.
Mm.
Every time we write a blog, in fact, technically what the term means, it doesn't have to even be in print. Any time we say something to someone, we're publishing it. We're putting it on in the airwaves. We're expressing between two people, because very few of us just talk to ourselves or write. Some people, as a wonderful tool, and we have a chapter on that, element of journaling as a means of personal growth, self-expression. But most of the writing we do is for a reader. And, you know, the main difference between amateur and professional, there are only two kinds of writers, amateurs and professionals.
Hmm.
Most people are amateurs. And when people hear the word amateur, they may think it's a pejorative or negative term. But actually, some of the greatest athletes in the world were amateur athletes who competed in the Olympics. So amateur doesn't mean unskilled. The difference between an amateur and a professional is an amateur writer only has to, they do it for the love of it. And they only have to ask one question, what do I want to express? But a professional knows they're creating a product they want to share with others. And they also have to ask, what do people want to read? And how can I make it easier on them? As Jack London said, it takes hard writing to make easy reading.
Hmm. That's a really good point. You know, and it's that way with speaking with people. I find that when I'm having conversations with visitors to the bookstore or guests on the radio show here, really my goal is trying to understand less how to get my point across, but really more how to understand and help them, you know, get their point across, what their story is.
Yeah.
So the other chapter that really caught my eye, I was very impressed with, not that I wasn't impressed with the whole book, but there's a chapter on self-publishing pros and cons. And I thought it was a very timely subject to include. You know, as a local independent bookstore, we get a lot of people who are interested in writing and publishing their books coming in, asking us for input. And we see a lot of people who've already finished their self-published books, and they'd like us to consider having them in the bookstore. And we do carry a number of them, and I watch traffic patterns. And contrary to what we've all heard, don't judge a book by its cover, that's what people do. So I wondered, do you have any thoughts on that, or should folks expect, different markets to perform differently with regard to covers and self-publishing?
One factor that is I see as problematic today is we have such sophisticated computer technologies that someone can take their own book and with a little design can make a book look finished. Anyone can write something and have it designed with beautiful aligned margins and formatting and font, you know, typeface with bold and italics, and it can look like a finished book, but it isn't. The book isn't done yet. It's still in a development phase. I have a friend who wrote a book, published it, self-published it online as an e-book. He published it as a print-on-demand book, beautiful cover he had designed. But to his credit, after getting significant feedback, he was willing to go back, and now he's torn it apart, and he's completely rewriting the book, redeveloping it. And he's so excited. He said, I had no idea until I got this feedback. This is five times as good as the first book.
Hmm.
But many writers don't do that. They put out their book a draft too soon, or two drafts too soon, and because it looks finished, it looks clean. So it's not just how it looks on the page, it's what the words say and how it reaches to people. So self-publishing used to be a default option. I mean, it was like if they can't get published, they can't find an agent, can't find a publisher, then they have to self-publish. That's no longer true today. Today, people can self-publish in a beautiful, they can get a cover designer. There are those out there who can help them design a beautiful cover. They can have freelance editors go over it carefully and give them very good feedback, and even people who will do some co-writing if they want, ghostwriters and so on, if they need help. So self-published books, I expect many of them are quite good. We all hear stories about the few who hit the jackpot. They were self-published, they couldn't find a publisher, and then they started taking off. We all heard stories about that. And that happens, but it's more the exception than the rule, because self-published works often don't go through the same gauntlet, the same
vetting,
where they have to have an agent willing to take it on who sees many books of that type. They have to have an editor willing to pay money for the book in advance and so on, and invest thousands of dollars. A book that has gone through that kind of gauntlet is more likely to be a quality book and attract endorsements, for example, and comments from other authors than someone who said, I just wrote this book and self-published it, because often it hasn't gone through that. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some excellent self-published books out there.
That's very
so
true.
We recommend in the book a process to go through. It's like a decision tree. Not just rushing to self-publish, but consider mainstream and going through the actual step-by-step process. People sometimes write to me through my website, peacefulwarrior.com, and ask if I can send them a little bit of information about that process, and I'm happy to do that.
We're speaking with Dan Millman, 16-time published author, and probably the most famous for his very first book, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, which later became a feature film. I want to just share with our listeners, Dan, the quote that I see on the title page of Self-Publishing Pros and Cons. It says, "Whatever you may have heard, self-publishing is not a shortcut to anything, except maybe insanity. Self-publishing, like every other kind of publishing, is hard work. You don't just wake up one morning good at it. You have to work for that." And that quote is from Zoe Winters. Yeah, it's really the time to be speaking about self-publishing and really to get an education on it, because I know there are a million services out there ready to just publish whatever you have. And the distilling process that years gone by was part of getting a book published does make a difference. It really does. So good advice from Dan Millman here in his book, The Creative Compass, Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. We do have that on the front table in the bookstore at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden in Carmel. The other question that I had for you, Dan, I notice this is kind of a tough topic for me, frankly. I notice that everybody and their brother has their books on Amazon, and many of us are learning, although we don't entirely know the impact of Amazon, we're learning how it has impacted independent bookstores across the nation over the last decade. And really the evidence of that is that there's probably 60% less independent bookstores, and I think that that is a conservative guess. But I wanted to know from you, because you're obviously supporting independent bookstores carrying your books, and you have it on Amazon. How do you feel about folks supporting independent bookstores wherever they happen to be, and the significance of having that particular avenue dwindle?
Well, it is certainly sad, these dwindling numbers. I love independent bookstores. My wife, my daughters, and I, my whole family have always supported and patronized independent bookstores. It's a destination spot. Get out of the house, go and browse through a bookstore, see the real books, pick them up, and deal with someone who loves the books they sell, people who are in that business, and who can hand-sell and tell you about books they're enthusiastic about, and direct you to different places in the store that you might that might even know you personally if you live in the area.
Very true.
So there are many advantages of independent bookstores. And Amazon and the various new technologies are part of the cycles of change. It's a flood, it's a wave. We can't really resist it, but we can, when life gives you a wind comes up, become a windmill, make use of it. We've heard that saying many different ways. So what independent bookstores can offer, like Pilgrim's Way, they can offer, they sometimes sell beautiful objects of art and or have a little cafe, and they diversify some to help them survive, and they have local authors like myself come in to do appearances, which we don't do and can't do in the same way on Amazon. But certainly from the viewpoint of the consumer, Amazon is very handy. You know, one click and boom, you can see books and see it rated. It is happening. We can't, you know, say like it or not.
Right.
It is happening. So all independent bookstores can do. And I've heard recently they're coming back. There's a resurgence of independent bookstores. So there's going to be a place. There will still be a marketplace for independent bookstores. Maybe not the same numbers. But there are still people who are willing to pay a dollar or two more for a book to browse and relax in the atmosphere of a bookstore. So I think we won't see a disappearance of independence. There's just an adjustment going on right now with the new technologies and distribution means of books, both print and electronic.
Very true. Thank you for that. So we are speaking with Dan Millman, author and... 16 books now. His latest book with his daughter, Sierra Prasada, is The Creative Compass, Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. And they are planning on being at the Pilgrim's Way on Friday, November 22nd at 2 o'clock. You're welcome to come on down and say hello, maybe pick up a book or two for gifts or for yourself. I know I'm going to have him sign my book. And we're going to take another break here. We'll be back. We have a surprise guest with a question for Dan Millman, so stay tuned and we'll be right back.
I'm there too.
Personally, and I've read it twice. I'm now a grandmother of a 10-year-old girl, and many years ago, Bella and I read it together over, you know, a course of time, reading time before bed. And the story, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, it's a moving tale about the power of the human spirit. The Peaceful Warrior is based on Dan Millman's autobiographical recount, and with that in mind, you know, finding out, Dan, that you were going to be my guest today, my granddaughter was really wanting to ask you a question that's a burning question for her, and I hope that you will indulge us.
Oh, how sweet. What's her name?
Her name is Bella.
Oh, yeah, you said Bella. Hi, Bella.
Hi.
And
hey, so
it's nice to say hello.
This is your moment, Belle. Go for it.
Okay, so... In your book, The Sacred Journey of the Peaceful Warrior, when you're in the ocean on your surfboard, did you actually go on that journey?
Well, that's a good question, Bella, and actually, it's part of a larger question of how much of my books is true and how much is from my imagination. So let me answer your question directly first and then expand a bit upon that. I have been on a surfboard. I have been badly sunburned, but they weren't at the same time. So fortunately, even though I've been some kind of dumb at points in my life, I was never quite that dumb. So no, I did not actually drift for days out on a surfboard between Oahu and Molokai in Hawaii. That part was fictional. In fact, that book... my first intention, Bella, was just to write a book about what I call the three selves, as you know, which I taught one of the teaching points in Sacred Journey. And I was going to call it Awakening the Three Selves. But then as the book developed, I thought about, well, you know, this is wisdom from the Hawaiian healers, the kahunas. And I should really show more respect to the culture. So I said, maybe I'll write a story around the information. And from there, it just took on its own life. And so the book is a novel. It's best to treat my books, even Way of the Peaceful Warrior, like novels, even though Way of the Peaceful Warrior was based upon many factual accounts of what really happened to me. it also blended some fictional elements from my imagination. And Sacred Journey is largely from my imagination. You know, the artist Pablo Picasso said, art is a lie that helps us to see the truth.
Very well put. Yes. So for many of us who read those stories and just were right with you, riveted with every intense situation that you encountered, it was easy to believe it was true. But I really appreciate your honesty in just explaining that and being upfront about it.
Well, there's more to it than that. You know, people say, I wish I had a teacher like Mama Chia, you know, in Sacred Journey. Or I wish I had a teacher like Socrates. But in a way, my teachers become the reader's teachers. And in taking them through those accounts, whether real or fictional, they have a visceral experience. Anyone who reads books lives many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a way, they go on that surfboard with me. They go through the difficulties. And it's not exactly the same as, quote-unquote, actually doing it in one's own life. But we can gain great perspective and wisdom by experiencing vicariously through the works of fiction and nonfiction these experiences. And I think we do live many lives when we're readers.
Well, I'll share something with you that's quite personal. The Way of the Peaceful Warrior impacted me so deeply that I have dreamed of Socrates, and he and I have interacted.
Well, that's wonderful. Absolutely. Socrates is everyone's teacher.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, my logical mind knew that this was a character. However, you know, it makes sense to me that the character facilitates some kind of communication and energy that really is alive and well.
Well, he's archetypal. And by the way, Mama Chia is a composite of different women I've known and I'm still meeting. But Socrates was actually based on a real flesh and blood cosmic old guy who was a gas station mechanic I met at 3 o'clock in the morning in 1966 in December in Berkeley, California. So he was really based on a flesh and blood real person. I didn't just make him up.
I love it. Well, you know what they say, truth is stranger than fiction.
Yes.
So that makes sense. That was one of Bella's other questions. So.
Well, good. Yeah. Does Bella have any other questions?
Is Mama Chia actual person too?
Actually, I don't know if you could hear when I said it, Bella, but Mama Chia is more of a composite. I did not meet a kahuna named Mama Chia in Hawaii, but I have met many women whose characters and inspiration became part of her character. So she is a fictional character, even though Socrates was based on a real person. But it's interesting. Somebody wrote me some years ago and said, you know what? My teacher, my Huna teacher, knows Mama Chia. I said, really? That's very interesting.
Well, you know how it is with people's names. There's no doubt, you know, any number of people with the same name.
It's possible.
That's very interesting.
Right.
Well, I want to know what you're working on next. Or do you know what you're working on next?
Well, in this case, I do. I may have two more major books in me. Who knows? I might get some surprises later on and more books will come. But I have two on the runway. And the next book I'm going to begin working on in earnest, I'm in the dream phase right now, is called The Hidden School. And it will be the third and final book in the Peaceful Warrior trilogy.
Oh, awesome.
Now, people have been waiting a long time after Sacred Journey. When are you going to write about that hidden school, Dan? So that is going to be the next book. And then I'm going to finish with a memoir, the story behind the story, and my whole search and how it reflects the spiritual search. So that will be a memoir. And as you know, memoir is true. Memoir is taking what facts from our memory, as best we can remember it, checking it and writing, sharing the truth. So my other books cannot be called memoirs, and I've never referred to Peaceful Warrior or Sacred Journey as memoir. They are novels,
uh-huh.
but based on my life in some sense.
So that's why one of the postings that I saw referred to it as autobiographical, because it was based on aspects of your real life.
Yes, and it's even been called semi-autobiographical,
uh-huh.
which is an odd term, but it's true. I mean, you could say many points in Peaceful Warrior, and I'll say, yep, I did that. That happened just like I described it.
Yeah.
But other elements are to create a visceral experience for the reader from my imagination.
Hmm. Now, do you have a tour schedule, Dan? Is that online, or how do folks find out about you and your event schedules if they want to get involved?
Well, I teach widely. I just got back from 7 European countries, and I teach at various points in the U.S., and Sierra and I are going to be teaching 2 workshops this year. One, as I mentioned, the same day after I visit Pilgrim's Way, we're going up to Watsonville, Mount Madonna Center, and teaching a weekend Creative Compass workshop there. People can go to my website. That's probably the easiest thing, peacefulwarrior.com, and then look at my event schedule, and it shows where I'm going. Now, for those on my email list, I will be sending out notes, and also on Facebook and Twitter, I'll be letting people know when I'm doing a book signing and where I'm appearing locally. I'll certainly give a heads up about those local events as well. So if people can always follow me on Facebook or Twitter, and or sign up for my email list on my website. It's easy to do, and I don't spam people. Once in a while, I just give them an update, share a favorite quote, that sort of thing.
So, funny story, folks. We're on the air here with Dan Millman, a well-known author. And I actually, when I first signed up to Facebook, I went through who are my favorite authors, and are they on Facebook, and will they be my friend? And Dan Millman was on that list, and so we were Facebook friends. I get quotes from Dan every once in a while, and I got a posting from you, Dan, that this book was going to be released, and I remembered messaging you or posting back, gosh, it's exciting. You know, I'd love to host a book signing at our store. And a couple months after that, I got a call from a very nice lady from a publishing house. And she said, can I speak to one of the owners there? And I said, well, I'm one of the owners. And she said, well, I'm not really sure who I need to talk to, but I have instructions from Dan Millman to set up a book signing with your store. And so there it was. We connected on Facebook.
That can happen. Absolutely.
It can. Technology
amazing
today.
World of communication today.
It is. It's much more accessible in so many ways.
Sure.
Well, you know, Dan, we're co-sponsored by the bookstore, and so we like to find out what our guests' reading preferences are. So I wonder if you would be so kind as to tell me what your all-time favorite book is.
Well, yeah, I'd love to answer that, but if I asked you, what is your all-time favorite film, you might say, well, what genre? Are you talking about drama or comedy or... and I have real trouble picking out one because I feel like I'm rejecting so many other wonderful books. But I will give you one book, really a trilogy. When I look through all the books I've read since I was a young man and even today, one that has just stayed with me like a sticky book is the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it was the classic epic journey of good and evil and heroism and sacrifice and beauty and tragedy and change and overcoming odds. The themes, you know, Herman Melville, who wrote Moby Dick, said, to write a mighty book, you must have a mighty theme. So there are other literary novels, and there are wonderful works of art, you know, artistry and compelling books. Many come to mind. But I would have to say, personally, that's probably... stands out for me. Now, something I'm reading now, happened to be a friend of mine sent me this book. It looks fascinating. It's by someone named Gabor Maté, MD. He's a doctor. He's Canadian, I believe, and he wrote a book called In the Realm of Hungry Ghosts.
I have heard of that.
And it's Close Encounters with Addiction. Now, I don't have particularly issues with addiction, but I deal with many people who have struggled with one or another kind of addiction. This book may be a seminal book that is going to really open the field in a new way. And a friend of mine, this friend who sent it to me, is himself an MD and an attorney and a hospital administrator
and
a seventh degree black belt in Aikido and a Renaissance man. He said he may be going to seminary next.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he's quite a guy. And he said, Dan, this really seems to resonate with your ideas about free will and about just some of the ideas I've expressed. That's why he thought of sending that book to me.
Mm.
So, There's so many books, so little time, right?
That is such the truth. I know. People think that Paul and I read all the books in the bookstore. And even though it is a smaller sized bookstore, it's just, you know, it's just not possible. My list of books and the books by my bedside is probably about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
But I love having the encounters with authors and people who have read things and they come in and tell me about it. That's one of my favorite things, because I can't read everything, you know.
But you do read, and that's the important thing. And Bella reads, and that's the important thing. One of the best things I ever did, or as a father, is to read to my daughters every night when they were, from the time they were 1.5 or 2 years old, we would go through books, and it helped develop their imaginations. And there's a saying that those who don't read are no better off than those who can't.
Boy, that is true.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to be hosting Dan Millman and daughter Sierra Prasada promoting their latest book, The Creative Compass, Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. They will be with us in the Pilgrim's Way bookstore, probably in the garden, we're thinking, because we're expecting quite a crowd for you, Dan. That's going to be Friday, November 22nd, beginning 2 o'clock. And we're so delighted to have you on the airwaves with us on Simple Life.
Well, I look forward to visiting Pilgrim's Way and to meeting those who are able to come by at 2 o'clock in just 2 weeks.
In just 2 weeks.
From today.
Thanks so much, Dan.
My pleasure, Cynthia, and hi to Bella, too.
Okay. We'll be with you again next week, and our host for Simple Life, Cynthia Fernandez. Have a good week.